sing that little chorus. Think about his love as we open service. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us. Father, Lord, as we gather here tonight, Lord, we can feel your Holy Spirit, Lord, dwelling within. Lord, we just appreciate every opportunity, Lord, to come gather in this little place, this humble little place, Lord. We just appreciate everything you've given us here, Lord. And we think about your love, and we think about your grace and your mercy. Lord, all the blessings you bestowed on us, Lord, we can't help but to raise our hands and say thank you. Lord, it's such a blessing, Lord, together with saints of like precious faith, Lord, that has the same desire, the same goal. Lord, we ask you to bless them. Wherever they may be this night, Lord, we ask you to bless them. Keep your hand upon them. Lord, let us get something out of this service, Lord. Let us sit intently, Lord, and see what you have for us this night. Lord, we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that again. Think about his love. Oh, think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. Oh, for as high sing that chorus. I know the master of the wind. Just the chorus. Amen.
I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. He can calm the storm, make the sun shine again. I know
within. Hallelujah. He's so precious. Page 348, just the chorus if we could. Amen. 348, the lighthouse. Amen.
And I thank God for the lighthouse.
to Him. Hallelujah. To Him, King Jesus is the lighthouse, and from the rocks of sin He has shown His light. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Everybody that lives about us says, tear that old lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail by this way anymore. There is no use at standing around. But then my mind goes back. Hallelujah. Amen. To that stormy night, when just in time I saw the light. Yes, that old light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on the hill. Amen. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, tell me where would this ship be? Hallelujah. Amen. So true. Amen. I'd like to turn our little books, our little capstone books. Page 21. Little loose leaf books. I long to be the bride that you're returning for, dressed in raiment white and wrinkle-free. I had no earthly love that I'm holding to, for you're the one that means everything to me. Anything, Lord. I'll give. have everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Page number 4, same book. I love this little song because I truly have so much to thank Him for, saints.
Amen.
Amen. When I look around and see the good thing He does for me, I know I'm unworthy of them all. And His blessings He freely gives, I owe my life to Him. I've got so much to thank Him for, and I've got so much to thank Him for, so much to praise Him for. You see, He's been so good to me, and when I think of what He's done and where He's brought
service into your hands, and ask that your will be done in all things. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Just me and Dad has a song tonight, if he wants to come on up.
I'm living by revelation.
have. Hallelujah. Just lean on Him. Amen. Let's all stand as we ask our brother to come bring forth the word the Lord's laid on his heart. Amen. Sing a little chorus. Only believe.
Father, as we bow our, not only our heads to you, but our hearts also tight, and we ask that you would just, Lord, help us to believe. Lord, without you, we cannot believe. But Lord Jesus, we see how serious and what a great time which we live in. And if we can't believe it, Lord, if we can't understand it, if we can't live by a revelation, then Lord, where would we be? Oh God, I pray that you'll help us tonight as we bring forth these few words again. For truly they are spirit and they are life, because it's your word, Lord. And we ask that you would just place them down in our hearts and place them in the right position at the right time. That, Lord, it can grow and bring forth exactly what you want us to be. We commit ourselves unto thee now for service. May you just have your preeminence. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to pick back up where we was at this morning on this little subject, but I'd like to read again Colossians 3, if you'd like to turn with me. Colossians 3, and we'll begin here at the first verse and read down to the fourth. And we find here he's saying in Colossians 3, 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Again, may the Lord bless reading his word into our hearts. You may be seated. When Christ, who is our life, we realize it can only come through the new birth, you see, shall appear. In other words, in the original Greek, it says manifest. So when Christ, who is our life, shall manifest, then he says, shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now we want to go back into this new birth and what it is to have been born again, what it is to receive the new birth, and what takes place. And as I said, it's really a long subject. Many things can be brought on this. But we're just trying to kind of highlight some things. And those who be interested in it, may it help them and encourage them and strengthen them to press on and to hunt and search for the greater things, you see. But we find here in Romans 8th chapter. Now, we read later on in the chapter this morning, but we'll begin to first verse this evening. Romans 8th chapter and begin to first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now again, we realize that His Spirit being in you, and you walking in the Spirit, and Christ being in you, can only be by the new birth. All right? So we find, he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. I want you to think about that. You see, because, you know, we have a great concern for the people. You see, because we realize that it isn't just a person saying, I'm born again. You know, it isn't just somebody saying, you know, maybe because they had a good feeling, Maybe they had some chills go down their back, maybe a service that took place or something, and then they start saying, I'm born again, you know, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But this is something, it's a personal relationship with Christ. And that's what we want to talk about also and bring some of these things in, and Lord willing, if we get time. But we find here, he also goes on to say, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, now to walk after the Spirit is that new birth. Okay? To walk after the flesh is walking with that worldly nature you was born with. And we realize that that worldly nature you was born with will always cater to the carnal, fleshly things of life. Things that's against God, you see. So we must, as Jesus said, ye must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus, you see. All right, so this new birth is more important than what some people think it is. And this new birth is a revelation. You see, it's something God reveals to you. Okay? So he says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So you know that's not the new birth. Okay? For if you're born again, you will walk after the Spirit. You will be led by the Spirit of God. Okay? He said, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if Christ is in you, then you do things after the Spirit and what the Spirit would have you do, what the Holy Spirit would have you do. For to be carnally minded is death. Okay? So we know now that if you're born again and spiritually minded, you're definitely born again. Because if you wasn't born again, you'd be walking in the carnal mind, doing what the carnal flesh wants to do, doing things that's contrary to the Word of God, doing things that's not pleasing to God, because the carnal mind cannot please God. It's impossible. There's no way it can. All right? For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Okay? So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. Because see, without that new birth, you'll be walking by fleshly, carnality. Okay? Because only way you can walk in the Spirit is through the new birth. Okay? Now keep those things in mind as we get along a little later here. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, okay, but in the Spirit. Now, he's going to say about this new birth. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And the way the Spirit of God can dwell in you is through the new birth. Okay? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So again, we're not going to make it without the new birth. If Christ isn't living in us, Christ isn't expressing in us, Christ doesn't have the complete control of this tabernacle of flesh. Remember what I read this morning? Know ye not ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And it's Christ that's supposed to be living and expressing in this flesh body now. Not our carnal actions of being a hothead and tempers flying off and stealing and cheating and backbiting and fussing with people. No. That's not the new birth. No. That's supposed to be dead if you're born again. Okay? But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Let's go on and read the rest of it. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, notice what he says here, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. I think that's mighty powerful. And it's the same Spirit. It's not a weakened Spirit. It's not a lesser Spirit. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Okay, from the grave. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Again, that's this body. You can feel, taste, smell, hear, see. Okay? Quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you, because it becomes the control tower that on the seat of your heart, to where it's controlling you. It's controlling what you think. It's controlling what you imagine. It's controlling your memory. It's controlling your reasoning. It's controlling your affection. Everything about you, it's controlling you. If Christ dwells in you, it has quickened your mortal body to live by His Spirit. Okay, because it's His Spirit living in you. All right? So He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. See, we no longer have to live after the flesh after you've received the new birth. Okay? You don't have to yield to it. It doesn't no longer control you, that worldly nature. Coming up through those carnal senses, it no longer controls you. You see? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify, or in other words, kill, crucify. All right? If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. So you see this change has taken place. Now there's something different controlling you than what it used to be. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. A lot of people can go up to a lot of things and acting like a Christian, impersonating a Christian, but they cannot be led by the Spirit of God. It stops, you see. They can impersonate, they can act out different things, but to be led by the Spirit of God, it will not happen. Only through the new birth. Then you know you've got something that's moving in your life that's real. Okay? All right? So with that in mind now, I'd like to read something here in the Easter Seal. Brother Branham's saying here, this was April 10th, 1965. I'll begin on paragraph 157. Well, we'll go skip on down to 158. He said, God help us now. Our churches are losing their identification. They're losing their identification. This identification of what? Christ that's supposed to be living in you. That's supposed to be in the control seat of the heart. That controls you or leads you by His Spirit. They're losing that identification that Christ is in them. Okay? He said, watch the action of those disciples. Now, this is before their new birth. They were scared. They know Jesus was the truth. But see, they were scared. But you see, it was against the popular idea, you see? The popular religion of the hour. See, before they was cowards. Before what? The new birth. They hid, they ran, they were scared. They was afraid of persecution. But what happened after the new birth? When they were filled with the Holy Ghost and their whole complete characteristics was changed. Now they boldly stood there and preached the gospel. Boldly stood on the truth, boldly declared Jesus Christ, you see, because of what was changed on the inside of them. Okay? The most strictest religion, see, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and so forth, their cults and clans and denominations, they were against that. So my, no wonder they were scared before they was born again. All that was coming against them. My. And especially knowing Paul was running around, which was Saul at that time, seeing who he could put in prison and maybe even have the opportunity to watch him be killed, stoned to death, you know. So they knew this. And as I said, before the new birth, they were scared. There was something about in their heart, their life, something needed changed in order for them to be like Christ was. So then finally they received a new birth on the day of Pentecost, you see. All right, let's go on. And he says here, all right, he said, denomination and so forth, they were against that. Heresy, they called it, see. But Jesus was the identified word. You see? Before those apostles was born again, our Lord Jesus Christ was the unidentified word. that time. Until the apostles receive the new birth, then they become the identified word also. Same is going to be with us. Remember last week I was speaking about, you know, people is going to know you're born again. People is going to know you're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's no little secret. It's not something that people's got to figure out and they wonder. They're going to know whether you're born again or not. Okay? Now, I'm telling you, if you can't see that scripturally, you really need a revelation. And maybe you need a new birth to get a revelation. You see? All right? He said, and Jesus is the Holy Ghost in spirit. Now, think of that. Jesus is the Holy Ghost in spirit. He says, a little while and the world seeth me no more. But listen what he says. You shall see me. Do you realize how blessed you are?
Amen.
You shall see me. How are you going to see him? By him being in you. That's the only way. Okay, now let's go on. You shall see me, not the body. He wasn't talking about you'll see my body. But you shall see me. Listen what the prophet says. The life that was in him, you'll see. God is upon the church. Now listen to that. God is upon the church to call sons like he did then. And he says, obedient. To what? The word. You see? I always do that which is pleasing to the Father, he says. Is that what Jesus said? I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. What if that same spirit comes in individuals today? Does it stop? I no longer do what pleases my Father. Is that what happens? That's what people are trying to make Christianity. That it no longer pleases the Father. It's just claim you're a believer, claim you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and just try the best you can. It's a bunch of nonsense. You see? He says here, let's back up. You shall see me, not the body, the life that was in him. God is upon the church to call sons like he did then, obedient. I always do that which is pleasing to my Father. Which one of you can accuse me of sin? Now, in this quote, he doesn't say that, but another quote, he says, cannot we say the same thing? Huh? I don't have it with me tonight. But he said, cannot we say the same thing? Other words, sin is unbelief. What has the word said about me? What does the word say about the bride today? To refresh your mind, Christ, the mystery of God revealed, Paul, prisoner of Jesus Christ, future home, what new birth is, all these different things, spiritual food, new season, what they receive, all these different things. That's what the word says about the bride. Now, will it not do it or not? Will it live by that or will it not? Huh? Okay. What has the word said about me that I haven't done? Jesus knew he had done what the word said he would do. The same we have to be in that same position that we will know exactly we're doing exactly what that word said to do. Otherwise, we don't have it. We've got a hopeful religion. We got a hopeful new birth. We got a hopeful trusting I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. But if we do have the genuine Holy Ghost, new birth, then we will do the same things this word tells us the bride will do. Okay? All right. There it is. Show me what the word said that I would do. He said, show me if I didn't do it. We should be able to say the same thing. Show me if I didn't do it. The word says we'll be an overcomer. Show me if we didn't do it. You see? You say the same thing. Show me if I didn't do it. The word tells me what the bride is to be today. Show me I didn't do it. Look how easy that would be on a lot of people. That'd be so easy. I'll show you what you ain't doing that the word said to do. It'd be so easy. And yet, people are so deceived in thinking they have a new birth. Friends, I know that's shaking. I know that makes us maybe doubt. But friends, we'd better know now than have to stand before him on the day of judgment. We take these things too lightly. We take it like we did back in Pentecost. Well, it's just this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. We take it like the Baptists do today. It's just this, that, and the other. It don't mean that. We take a lot of, like a lot of people do in this message. Oh, let's just skip over that. Let's sweep that under the rug. You see? But by God's grace, I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. We have got to know now where we stand. You see? Now. Not wait till death gargles going through our throat and then we're scared. Oh, no, I don't know if I've got this or not. That's a sure sign you don't have it. You see? All right? Show me that the word said what I do, that I didn't do it. Which one can accuse me? Now think of that, friends. Think of that. Which one can lay your fingers on me and say that I haven't fulfilled my Father's word? Oh, when the Pentecostal church gets to that spot, oh my. So it must be people have to get to it, right?
Right, amen.
Amen. Yes. Who can accuse me of unbelief? Who can accuse me of unbelief? But we can sure accuse many of unbelief. Many ministers standing behind a pulpit, you can accuse of unbelief. Adding to, taking away. And their little innocent sheep laying there out there with them and agreeing with the same carnality and creeds of men. Yeah. Can you accuse them of unbelief? Absolutely you can. But there's got to be a people you cannot accuse of unbelief. They believe it, it's manifested. You see? It vindicates itself. That's the true evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You have a clear understanding, future home, a clear understanding of the entire word. He didn't say partial. He said the entire word of God. And then what? Vindicates itself. Now, what excuse are we going to have on that day? Are we going to have the excuse Brother Steve didn't tell me? Or my past pastor didn't tell me? Or the preacher didn't tell me? I didn't catch it? I didn't read it? I didn't see where the prophecy, I didn't see it in the scripture? And our lives filled with all this other junk and we ain't got time to search it. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Friends, on that day you're going to see the things on the day of judgment that people that gave things in exchange for their soul. You say, how you know that, Brother Steve? Because it's all going to play on that screen. Yes, the prophet talked about it. It's going to play on that screen. You're going to see what people exchanged for their soul. They didn't have time for God. My. Saints, I know it's hard. I know it seems like I'm fanatical. It might seem like this is ridiculous, is to say. But friends, somebody has got to understand the truth. You see? We must live by it. It's got to be real. It's got to be genuine. You see? So let's go on. Christ, the mystery of God revealed. I'll try not to hold you too long this evening. Paragraph 233. Look, Christ in you makes him the center. I know we've read these things, but don't let that enter your mind. Oh, I know these things. Just listen to them again. Just say, Lord, open my heart. I might have heard this 50 times or more, but just open my heart, Lord. There's something else maybe for me. You see? Look, Christ in you makes him. Christ in you, what is that? The new birth. Let's just make it as plain as we can. Christ in you, because he told us before, many places, Christ in you is the new birth. Okay? So Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. The new birth. See? Christ's life in you makes him the center of the revelation. Christ in the Bible makes the Bible a complete revelation of Christ. Christ in you makes you. Christ in you, the new birth, in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. And he says, see what God is trying to do? What is the new birth then? What is this we've been talking about? Is this something you could just get and you're just going to remember it intellectually, stack it in your brain, and you're going to walk out remembering this, and you're going to, I'm born again because I can remember all this. Is that what it is? It's a revelation. And if the Holy Spirit don't reveal it to you, you won't have a clue really what the new birth is. You might could gain an intellectual head knowledge of it and even tell somebody else about it, but that'll never change your life. What is the new birth then? You say, well, Brother Branham, what is the new birth? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. You see? Amen. Not join a church or shook a hand or done something different. You said a creed or you promised to live by a code of rules. But Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that was revealed to you. Christ, the Bible, He has been revealed to you. And no matter what anybody says or what takes place, there's all kind of preachers out there trying to change these things. Yeah. Give different ideas to it so it's lightened up a little bit so they can have more people, more of a congregation, so their men can look more worldly and their women can dress more worldly and they can have sin in their life and they can even marry in adultery and they can commit fornication and do all these things and still be an end-time message believer. Don't tell me what I'm talking about. I do. You see? And no matter what anybody says or what takes place, it's Christ, not pastor, priest, whatever it might be, it's Christ in you. That's it. And if He's in you, He'll take care of expressing Himself through you. You see? That is the revelation that the church was built upon. Think of that. This new birth is the revelation. That new birth is what the church was built upon. Yeah. The new birth is Christ. The new birth is Christ. A revelation is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. You see, it's a mystery. It ain't just a chill coming down your back and saying, oh, I know that must have been it. I spoke in tongues. That must have been it. No. Could have been, but that's not all that goes with it, friends. No. You like you talk about the shoes, you know, and the tongue in the shoe. That ain't the whole shoe. That's just part of it. You see? Right? The new birth is Christ is a revelation. God has revealed to you this great mystery. That's a new birth. Now, what are you going to do when you get all that group together? Where the revelation of the new birth is in perfect harmony. Wow. Glory. And God expressing it through His Word by the same actions. You see, it produces actions, the new birth does. Yeah. It produces real actions, genuine actions, Christ-like actions. The same things that He did making the Word manifest. Oh, if the church only knew its position. I pray and trust God that somehow this part of the church will, when I say this part of the church, I'm talking about those that fellowship here because the church is the whole universal, the called out ones. But those that's gathering here, I trust at least here, that's under the responsibility God has given me will find a position of what this real, genuine new birth is, what it does, the actions it produces. The Holy Spirit reveal it and make it plain. Then you will be changed. You ain't going to keep struggling with that same thing you can't overcome. He'll overcome it for you. You see? Excuse me. See, if the church only knew its position, it will one day. And then, the rapture will go when it knows what it is. See why this is so important? This new birth, being born again, ye must be born again. This is what's hinging on a rapture taking place, friends. You see? Not a bunch of people being deceived like they're being today and calling themselves Christians or saying they're well filled with the Spirit and they're blind, miserable, naked, wretched, and don't know it. No. This most deceptive age it ever was. People think they're Christians when they're not. My. Now notice God making Himself known. He says, we're not supposed to make converts to Christianity by governments. No, that's what some men have tried to do, and we've seen that in the past, which is rules, regulations. They try to make Christians by rules, regulations. If they can't quit doing something, they throw them on restriction, and they're going to be a better person else because it's on restriction. What they just need is born again. Notice, he says here, not by making converts to Christianity by governments, but by revelation. Of what? The new birth. Yeah. Christ in you, which is a new birth. Of God was in Christ, as God was in Christ, Christ is in you. When what God did in Christ, Christ does in you. What signs did God in Christ, Christ does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? He says, I like that. Jesus says at that day, that's this day. At that day, when this revelation is made known, what, the new birth? Yes. You will know that I am in the Father. The Father's in me. And you'll know I'm in you and you're in me. There's a new birth. You'll know it. How are you going to know it? Because you see Christ vindicating himself, identifying himself. He's in you. Because you see those things happen in your life that there's no way you could control before. And now it's all changed and your desires is totally different now. And now it's every word, every word. You're not happy with just doing a few words. No. Your only joy and peace is knowing it's every word in your life. You see, every word. That's your satisfaction. And the Father in me and I in you and you in me. When the revelation of that new birth, he's been talking about the new birth, that's what he's talking about, the revelation is made manifest. That's our first scripture we read. Yeah. When the revelation is made manifest, at that day you shall know that I and the Father are one, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Then when the revelation comes forth, then it's I in you, when you really understand and have a revelation what that new birth is, and you know you've been born again, without a doubt, then it's I and you and me. He says, there you are. Oh my. See, he says, what for? To bring it back. We've got to be there, you see. We've got to be there, saints. Remember, think of it, that people born of his Spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live in, and the living God takes his living word and vindicates it. Through who? He also vindicated through you. You see, vindicates it. Personally. Personally. That's you, personally. You see? This life that's in the Word, the germ that's in the seed, and the Word is a seed that a sower went forth to sow, and the life is Christ in the Word, personally, there it is again, personally in you. Vindicating. What's vindicating? Proving. Proving something that you cannot do. Oh, hallelujah. There you go. Now you're getting on the right track. Because we've seen, we know we're human. We've got a mind. We've got a memory. We know there was a time in the past we just couldn't do it. We'd try, we couldn't do it. We'd try, we couldn't do it. Now, if you're still doing that, something's wrong. You try and you can't do it. You try and you can't do it. This is a life that you cannot live yourself. He said, you cannot do it. Oh, now we're talking about a real, genuine, born-again experience. Not an imagination. Not a memory of me shaking. Not a memory of chills going down my back. Not a memory of somebody laying hands on me. This is a personal revelation God gives you, and it vindicates itself. You see? Vindicating something you cannot do. Proving His self. His self. That it's not you. Because you can't do it, and I can't do it. But it's Him. Do you understand that? It's not something you can do. It's not something you can keep trying harder and trying harder and trying harder. This is something you cannot do. Amen. Now, if He said you cannot do it, you ain't going to do it. I don't care how hard you try. You ain't going to overcome these things. I don't care how hard you try. But you get Christ in there. What do you say again? Oh, He said to the lady, like the old person said, if I could only quit smoking. If I could only just quit drinking, just get in Christ. If I could quit lying, if I quit having a temper, if I could quit cheating people, just get in Christ is all you got to do. Because you are never going to stop it. Never. But Christ in you will kill that thing. You see? And it's no longer you living. Now it'll be Christ living through you. You see? See, We forget these things. They're not registering. They're just words. They're Bible scriptures we may even remember. But friends, it's got to be a reality that Christ is living in us. You see? That's what the new birth is. We've lightened up the new birth where it's just something, a nice thing to have. Friends, it's something you must have. Because it's Him living through you then. Okay? I'm not saying anything outside of what He's saying, friends. I might be breaking it down a little bit more, but friends, I'm saying exactly what He says, and He said exactly what the Scripture says. Now, if you sit there with an accusing thought that you're wrong, maybe you better search the Scripture and find out if I'm wrong. Maybe you better search the Word. Now, you go in there, so many people go in and search the Word trying to prove somebody wrong, they end up on the wrong end of the stick, friends. Instead of going in there asking the Holy Spirit to reveal, instead of going in with an attitude, I'm just going to try to prove somebody wrong. You better go in and try to see where you're at personally. Yeah. Find out where yourself at is, you see. It's proving His self that it's not you, but it's Him. And you've become a love slave to Him. Yeah. To be a bride. Oh my. What done that for you? The Holy Ghost. You can't make yourself a love slave. Only through the Holy Ghost coming in you. Because again, the Holy Ghost is a gift God gives you. It's a gift, it's a treasure of love He places in your heart. You see? His presence in the individual. My time's over with. His presence in the individual with a personal vindication of Himself expressing Himself. As if we were still doing the things wrong and still doing things in our what we want to do and that's contrary to the Word and takes us away from the Word. That's us expressing. But if He's expressing, you'll be doing exactly what the Word of Scriptures tells you to do. You see? That's like these women wearing their clothes that look like men. You know, the dresses, and they put all the pocket zippers and everything else on. If they had the Holy Ghost, friends, something on the inside would be telling them that isn't a man's apparel. It looks like a man's apparel. It pertains to a man's apparel. Simplicity and as simple as it could be. You see? But without the Holy Ghost, they can't get into these things and understand them. So they live by their desires, their longings. They see the women out in the world wearing the pants with all the diamonds on the back pockets and everything. So they want their back pockets on their little skirts with diamonds on it so they can look like the world. You see? Something's wrong. He that loves the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In other words, you do not have the Holy Ghost. You see? All right. He says here, all right, His presence in an individual with a personal vindication of Himself expressing Himself, the living Word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual, never a group. An individual, not in a group. Now, you've got pastors out here today that try to make the whole group that. Friends, it'll never work. Never. Nope. If they can't get them to do it, then they'll try to make them do it. Governments, rules, regulations. But it'll never work because it's for individuals. You see? An individual, not in a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that? He said, the congregation says, amen. Not with the Methodists, not with the Baptists, not with Presbyterian, not Luther, not Pentecostals, but as an individual. And we can easily say, and not as so-called message believers, but as individuals. You see? I'll take one, I'll leave one. As I said before, that will be fulfilled, friends. They will be two in bed. One will be taken, and one will be left. It will be fulfilled. There'll be two in the field working. One will be taken, and the other one will be left. It'll be fulfilled, friends. I'll take one, I'll leave one. I'll separate them. I didn't think, well, people don't think God's a separator. He absolutely is a separator. Sure is. That's right. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one, leave one. There'll be two in bed. I'll take one, leave one. It's not a group. It's not even a whole family. No. It's individuals. There might only be one out of a family of 10 that'll be taken, friends. And the rest of them will go through tribulation. It's not a group. It's a personal vindication of a pregnated child of God filled with the Holy Ghost. So surrendered to God that he don't care about anything else. And the Holy Spirit lives its life. That's why I said the Holy Spirit lives its life. Now see, without understanding Scripture, you may just think it's man saying these things. But you can take these things and find them right in the Scripture. You see? The Holy Spirit living his life, pulsating through him, showing the personal vindication of the Word itself, expressing itself to the people and to the world. Tell me they won't know. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong to think people won't know you've got the Holy Ghost. I'll guarantee you by God's word people will know you've got the Holy Ghost. There might be some people don't understand what it is. They won't know what's going on. But they'll know you have something they've never seen before. Something real. Something genuine. That maybe all the rest of their family was Methodist or Baptist and this, that, and the other, and never did produce anything real with it. But for some reason, they see something real about you. They see you're an overcomer. They see you love God with all your heart. All your body, soul, mind, spirit, and strength is given to God. See? In closing, why don't you come to the instruments, please, if you will. His body was not held in the grave. See, it was recognized with him in the resurrection, same as he is now. Listen, which means this. His word, which he is, has begin to be risen. The word that down through the age of Luther, Wesley, has begun to raise up to its power. There it began to move, and then it moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. What is that? The new birth. You see? Now it's coming up to identification. Watch now. To the life in the body is a vindication that the rapture is at hand. Wow. No wonder maybe why the Holy Spirit was so stressed. Because maybe it's getting really close now. Yeah. It's a vindication or proving that the rapture is at hand. When you see people with a genuine new birth, Christ living through them, that identification is there. You know the rapture is at hand. When you see the headship, which is Christ, and the body becoming one. How do they become one? Through the new birth. That it's Him living through them. They become one. When they see you, they see Christ. Is that right or is it not? Absolutely, it's right. Some may not want it to think it's right, but it's right anyway. The headship and the body becoming one, and the fullness of the measure of your manifestation? No. Of His manifestation. That's why there has to be Christ living in you. That's why you must be born again. That's why you must be filled with that Holy Ghost. And that fire, Holy Ghost fire, has come down and killed that worldly nature you was born with. That it's no longer there. It's dead. It's dead. It's gone. It cannot come back. No. Shows that the body is about ready to be received to the headship. Glory to His name. Again, I know I have to say it for the carnal mind, for the unlearned. Yes, you will have to make mistakes probably until Jesus comes. You probably will, no doubt. But it's times you're trapped into it, not willfully yield to it. Trapped into it. When you know something's moving in and pressing in and coming up to something cause you to break that word, there should be something on the inside of the throne of your heart saying, stop it, stop it, stop it. Yeah. And guess what? You won't keep doing it. Because if you do, you're not the overcomer. So our little excuses on, I'm going to make mistakes till Jesus comes, because that's what the prophet said. And we most likely will. But to use that for a crutch that you always want to lean on ain't going to work in this hour, friends. No. It ain't going to work. When you do the same thing over and over and over again, the same thing over and over and over again, that crutch is going to break on you, friends. And you're going to fall down. There's a great fall coming for you if you can't see these things, what we're bringing. Are you too proud to cry out to God? Do you think you know too much? Are you a know-it-all? That's what Brother Branham said it'd be in this day and age. Know-it-alls. Yeah. They know everything. Ha, I don't need that. Miserable, blind, naked, and wretched, and know it. Think they are well filled with the Spirit. Did I read it again this morning? Yeah, I read it again this morning. Terrible shape to be in. To think you're well filled with the Spirit and have not the Holy Spirit. And remember, there's no way possible that you can hide it. There's no way you can hide of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's impossible to hide of not being filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. God so designed, put this all together, that it's impossible. For by their fruits you shall know. That's another quote I've got with me, if you want to wait on that. And he goes and breaks down everything, different things, situations in people's lives. You'll know it. I'm not wrong. I'm not wrong by saying that. That people won't know whether you got it or not. You just don't see it. You just don't understand it. It's not been revealed to you. But that doesn't change God's word. It's there plain as can be. On printed page. Everywhere. You'll see it. So I can't hide it. You can't hide it. As I said, I can't hide if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. And I can't hide if I'm not filled with the Holy Ghost. Impossible. People will know. Yes. May the Lord help us and help us to understand these things. And as I said, I know these things are hard. And maybe some that's listening to this, maybe some's done give up and thrown and turned off the machine. I don't know. But that doesn't stop me from telling the truth.
Right.
It never stopped those disciples in the past and apostles as telling the truth. It cost them their head at times. Cost them their life. Cost them beatings. Cost them stonings. But they did not hold their peace. They preached the truth regardless. Can you imagine old John the Baptist having to stand before the king? The king? And openly tell him, you had no business having that wife, that woman of yours. That's your brother's wife. You're an adultery. The king. No one could have him killed any time. And it did end up costing him his head. You see? But he told the truth anyway. Stephen knew as he preached the gospel to the Sadducees and well-learned religious people and called them exactly what the word called them to be. It cost him his life. But he preached the truth anyway. Yeah. Oh, it may cost you friends. It may cost you family. So what? So be it, if it has to. God didn't send me here to baby people. He sent me here to preach the truth.
Amen.
And by His grace, I shall preach the truth. Whether it hurts or cuts, whatever it may be. Only thing I can pray and ask God, help people to understand. You know, help them to understand. Amen. Let us all stand. Amen. If you would, please. Let's just sing a little chorus. Lord, prepare me to be a living sanctuary. Amen. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, again, we come to you through the way of prayer. Lord, I can only ask you somehow to let these words go down deep into the hearts of your people. Many of those may be sitting home, Lord. Trust that they've not let anything distract them, that they have listened very carefully. And if there was distractions, maybe they can go aside by themselves and listen again. And then search these scriptures and these quotes I've read tonight to make sure, Lord, they know exactly where they're at. That they would be amongst those that are deceived and thinking they're well filled with the Spirit. But Lord, Satan will try everything he can to distract. Maybe the children act up. Maybe something happened. Maybe laying there sick, not feeling good, and just not paying attention. Lord, what will man give in exchange for the soul? What will a woman give in exchange? What will a young person give? Is things in this life much more important than you? Must you bear the cross alone and all the world go free? But there's a cross for me, Lord. There's a cross for every one of us. And Father, may we take up our cross and follow you. And follow the straight and narrow way How we can see, Lord, that broad is the way that leads to destruction. And very narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Many will go in the way of destruction. The gate's a lot wider. It lets a lot more people in. But Lord, the straight and narrow way, Lord, the righteous way, is very narrow. There's only one thing that can pull us through that narrow opening. And that's the genuine new birth. Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us. Forgive us of our sins and our iniquities, anything in our life, dear Lord, that would displease you. If, Lord, someone listens to this and they're just not quite sure, maybe they've never given their heart to you, may the power of the Holy Ghost come down in their hearts, even now. Oh, Lord, and shake them clear to the marrow of the bone, oh God. Stir their hearts to reality. Let the people understand. I'm not crazy, Lord. I'm not fanatical. But, Lord, I must stand on what's truth. For people are constantly doing away and making as though it's not so today. But it is so today, Lord. The new birth is just as real and just as strict as it ever was, Lord. Greater in this hour, in this last day, than ever before. Lord, help us now, is my prayer. Go with us, lead us, and guide us, Lord, in all truth and righteousness. Have your preeminence in our lives. Keep us safe, Lord. In your glorious, wonderful name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sing it again as we leave. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
Hallelujah.
With thanksgiving. Bless you. You're dismissed.